Wesley Auger thought he would never forgive his dad for destroying the family. But thanks to the intervention of those who loved him, Wesley was the man who led his father into new life. Ask your friends to join you in hearing this true story of reconciliation coming soon on Unshackled. How do you do? People who break the law rarely consider anything except immediate gratification for themselves when, in truth, we are all victimized by crime emotionally, financially, and morally. The man in this story was a direct victim of his father's lawlessness, and in retaliation he began to hate. And then love unlocked the bondage of hatred, and his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Car looks like the bank examiner's car. I wrote down his license number the last time he was here. Then I listed under B for bank or E for examiner. It is his car, no doubt about it. And I haven't had time to change the ledger for the latest loan of mine. He can't miss it. He can't possibly fail to pick it up when he runs a trial balance. I gotta get out of here. I'll take the train to Manhattan and disappear in the crowd.
From Chicago, the crossroads of America, Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true life stories of real people, recorded before a live studio audience. Since 1877, when the Doors first opened, the old lighthouse has given help to the men and women living on Chicago's streets. Help means food, clothing, shelter, and medical and dental care, all free. Help also includes counsel with the hope that empty lives will be transformed. And since 1950, when Unshackled began, that same hope has been broadcast into homes and hearts across the country and now around the world in six languages. Thanks to friends who give financially, this global outreach makes it possible for others to find new life. And now here is program number 2,726 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Mother!
I'm in the kitchen.
What's going on, Ma? What are the police doing here?
They say your father's a thief and they're searching for evidence.
That can't be. Did they ask him?
He disappeared this morning. His car's at the bank, but he never showed up.
Not my dad. It can't be.
It doesn't look good, Wes. They say he embezzled more than $100,000. I guess you really never know anyone.
Take a boy at the sensitive age of 10, destroy his home and expose his father as a criminal, and you can expect a boy with problems. The youth in this story learned to hate, which became a stronghold in his life. This is the true story of how love unlocked that stronghold. It's the true story of Wesley Auger from the classic files of Unshackled.
I was born in Richmond Hill, Long Island, New York. My father was a branch manager of one of the largest banks in New York City. And he had just bought us an expensive new home when the embezzlement was discovered. My life was blown apart. Everything I thought I knew came into question.
Your father turned himself in today.
Is he coming home?
No, he's in jail, right where he belongs. They said he wasn't even wearing shoes.
What?
He knew they were after him, so he took a train to the Bowery and stayed in the flop houses. What a fool, trying to hide out there wearing $100 shoes. Doesn't he know there's a depression on, and men would kill for shoes like that?
Is he okay?
Besides his shoes, somebody stole his watch and that diamond ring he wore. Serves him right.
Did they get the money back, Mother?
Of course not.
Well, what's going to happen to him?
There'll be a trial, and he'll go to prison where he belongs.
Justice was swift in those days. The trial began 2 weeks later. The charge was grand larceny. They never recovered the money. Turned out my dad had a mistress, and he was trying to support two households. The sentence was 3.5 to 6 years at Sing Sing. I never saw my father at home again. But Mother took me along for the one and only time I saw him in prison.
Ma'am, you and the boy can sit right over here in front of the screen. Now, your husband will be brought in on the other side.
Thank you. Will we be able to talk to him?
Yes, ma'am, but you can't hand him anything or touch him.
Oh, I assure you, I haven't the slightest desire to touch my husband. Wesley, sit down there and don't speak unless you're spoken to.
Yes, Mother. Will Dad be wearing a prison suit like those men over there?
I suppose.
I would never want to be a prisoner.
Then you're learning an important lesson early in life. Keep your hands off other people's money. When you're placed in a position of trust, take the responsibility seriously.
Hey, here comes Dad. He just came in that door over there.
I see him, Wes. Don't point.
And he's wearing a prisoner suit, like I said.
I can see that, too. Remember that sight well. Not long ago, your father was one of the better-dressed businessmen of Richmond Hill. Now look at him.
All right, sit down. You got 10 minutes.
Well, I'm glad you finally found time to visit.
I have some legal papers here. I can't hand them over to you, the guard says, but I can hold them up so you can see what they're about.
Mother's lawyer wrote them up.
Wesley, I told you, don't speak unless you're spoken to.
So you're going to get a divorce?
Well, it seems the only choice under the circumstances.
You're dumping me while I'm in trouble?
Judging from the things that came out at that trial, you tossed me and your son aside some time ago.
Son, you can learn from all this. Don't ever let yourself get in this kind of situation.
I know, Dad. Mother just finished telling me the same thing when you walked in. Mother had to sell our new house, and we moved in with my grandparents from a trophy home to a little two-bedroom house. My reaction, once I recovered from the shock, was anger. My rage needed someone to blame, and I decided it was all God's fault. He was the only one to blame, and if he wasn't to blame, it was only because he didn't exist. I had faithfully attended church without my parents until this ordeal in our lives, but now that was over. At 13, I came about as close to being a true atheist as it's possible to be. The only reason I kept the door ajar was so I'd have someone to blame. Without God, there'd be no one left. My Aunt Minnie, who also lived with my grandparents, knew better.
Wesley, your father is not saved, so he follows the lusts of his flesh, that's all. He needed the Lord as his savior. Then he wouldn't have done this.
Now, Minnie, you know that I don't want Wes to mention his father's name, and that goes for you, too. He betrayed me. Because of him, we have nothing, and I have to slave away in that department store. He had a mistress, you know. He probably gave her all that money and left us penniless. So I forbid you to talk about him. Ever.
Try not to be angry, Wes. God tells us to forgive others.
Don't talk to me about God. He's responsible for everything. So I have a right to be angry. I'll never forgive him or my dad. At 15, I had a job as a delivery boy for a butcher. And later, I was private mutt for a dancer. But my attitude was strictly dead end. I joined a gang that carried knives, but none as sharp as the pain in my heart. Next door were two boys who were just about as fed up with life as I was. And their mother talked with my aunt about ways to steer us into worthwhile pursuits. They persuaded us to go and see a famous vaudeville man named Happy Mac McDonald. We were a little suspicious when the event was held at a large church.
Now, back in the old days, it took liquor to keep me from knowing that Happy Mac was really a very lonely man. I fooled myself while I was up there in the lights, and the crowd was laughing and applauding, but with the curtain down, there was nothing to live for. Liquor dulled the pain, but it didn't last. First thing in the morning, I was really unhappy, Mac. And then I heard the gospel for the first time in my life. I heard that I was a sinner. I heard that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And when I gave my life to Jesus, he made me a new man. Listen to me, boys. Jesus will change your life. He'll give you hope and a purpose.
I was furious with my aunt and her neighbor for their sneaky trick, trapping us with that preacher. Nothing he said penetrated my resentful heart. Seeing my anger, anyone else would have given up, but not my aunt. Her second effort to reach me was a very effective temptation. She offered to send me to a summer camp in the mountains. I was all for it until I discovered it was a Bible camp. Then I refused. Even then, she didn't give up.
Did you know that Bill next door is going to that summer camp in the Poconos?
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I talked to his mother today, and she told me all about it.
Wait till I tell him what it really is.
He knows, but he's going. Wouldn't you like to go? I think you two would have a good time.
Well, if Bill's going, I'll go. And we'll show those Sunday school boys what a real gang is. I should have known better, but any boy is an easy mark when summer camp is offered. We rode to Pine Brook in a special bus, and even before we got there, I was suspicious. By the time we were assigned to our cabins, I knew the truth. Most of the boys, except Bill and me, were Christians. I was so fed up, I hitchhiked into town and hung out, smoking cigarette butts off the street. In time, I grew hungry, though, and got back to camp just in time for dinner. Saturday night was a campfire service, more gospel. Sunday morning, we all went to the tabernacle, where I was in for a shock. It was Happy Max speaking again.
All sin is rebellion against God, refusing to obey his will, following our own will instead. Now, the prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Yeah.
Him,
yeah.
The Lord Jesus Christ, he took the beat, the penalty for our sins, and that penalty is death. Every time you turn your back on God, you die a little. God loves you. Maybe you don't love yourself, and maybe you think nobody else loves you, but Jesus does. So much that he laid down his life so you could have forgiveness and peace in your soul. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
I heard what Happy Max said, but I tried to forget it. My resentment of him and the camp and the people around me grew throughout the day. I couldn't believe that same man was here, preaching. At the same time, my lonely heart longed for the peace he described. I stood outside, kicking stones, brooding. Never had I known such conflict.
We'll hear the outcome of that conflict in just a moment. Homeless men who come to Pacific Garden Mission may have tried to change, some many times, but without help, most cannot change. The deceptions of the world and their own lust lead them astray. The men's division at Pacific Garden Mission aims to transform the whole man, making a new creation, one able to resist evil. Sound impossible? Not at all. Beginning with accountability, pastors and counselors at the mission speak the truth in love, helping each man realize his hopeless condition and the selfishness that brought him low. And then they teach him to see his potential, that he is made in the image of God, with God's indwelling presence, that he can live a life that is holy and victorious. And what a great day it is when another lost man becomes a real man of God. To learn more about this ministry to men, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
When night came and another service was held, a lawyer stood up and preached, and God's word broke through my defenses. Then he said, boys, you've heard the words of eternal life. Who wants to become a Christian this week? Who's first? Just slip up your hand so we'll know we should pray for you. My hand went up, and so did my friend Bill's. Afterward, we found ourselves face to face with Happy Mac.
Boys, do you know John 3:16?
No, sir.
Most quoted verse in the Bible. It's the gospel in one sentence. For God so loved the world, meaning you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, you learn that verse by heart.
Yes, sir.
Now, here's another one. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you boys have just called on the name of the Lord Jesus. So what happened?
We're safe.
You got it. Now let's pray and thank God for his gift of salvation.
We prayed together, and from that night on, I never doubted that I became a son of God by faith. At a campfire service later on, I dedicated my life to being an evangelist. I wondered what my family would say.
Praise the Lord. I've been praying for you, Wesley.
I'm going to spend the rest of the summer handing out tracts on the street with an evangelist. And in the fall, I'm going to start Bible school. I want to be an evangelist, too.
Wonderful.
Oh, it's foolishness, that's what. If I'd known this would happen, I never would have let you go there.
Well, what's wrong with being an evangelist, Mom?
You need to get a real job, Wesley. You don't have two nickels to rub together. And now this, it's a waste of time, if you ask me. You should think of the future.
Mom, Jesus is the future. I spent my summer handing out tracts with an evangelist and never looked back. My heart was fixed on sharing God's love. That fall, I enrolled in Bible school, did street preaching, and preached in rescue missions. When I wrote home at the end of my first year of Bible school, Mother told me there was no place for me at home. So I spent the summer going to Bible conferences where I slept on the ground. At 18, I was in full-time evangelism, but still taking Bible classes. That's where I met Dorothy. Hello, Dorothy. You always look so pretty.
Oh, hello, Wesley.
Can I carry your books? We're going the same way.
No, thanks. I can manage.
Hey, how come I always see you with that guy, Ross? He's much too old for you.
I'm assisting him, Wesley. The school arranged for me to be the soloist at the meetings where he speaks.
Hey, well, I don't like it. I don't like him either. Hey, don't you trust him?
That's a very inappropriate thing to say. And besides, it's not your concern.
Well, you just watch yourself, Dorothy. Stay away from him.
I didn't like Wes when I first met him. He was a wise guy from New York, and he whistled everywhere he went and wore a cap on the back of his head. He was somewhat of a comedian and prankster and was often in trouble for fun-loving things. But it turned out he was right to warn me about the older man I was assisting. The man was dishonest, and I was afraid of him. And finally, I was not assigned to be with him. Trying to protect me, Wes began spending more time with me, walking me to class and going to meetings with me when I sang.
That was a good class tonight, Dorothy.
Yes, it was.
When he said, fruit grows out on a limb, I understood why God expects us to live by faith. That's how we grow, and that's how we're fruitful.
Yes, very true.
And I can see how important it is to use parables the way Jesus did. It helps people understand the truth.
Yes, I agree.
You're awful quiet tonight, Dorothy. Something bothering you?
Well, we've been spending a lot of time together, Wes. I think we ought to stop seeing so much of each other because I don't want you falling in love with me.
Oh, well, it's too late. I already love you. I've known for a long time that I want to marry you, Dorothy.
Slow down, Wes. We hardly know each other.
Well, you might not want to marry me when you learn all about me.
It can't be that bad.
Just before I got saved, I was an errand boy for Gypsy Rose Lee, the Broadway stripper.
That's in the past, Wes.
There's more, and it's worse. My father went to prison for embezzlement.
Oh, Wesley. He didn't know the Lord, did he?
No, he didn't. And I didn't either.
Where is your father now?
I don't know, and I don't really care. He hates me.
How can that be?
I was 13 the last time I saw him at Sing Sing Prison.
How can you care for the souls of strangers but have no concern for your own dad?
He didn't care about me. He left, and I never saw him again.
You should try to find him, Wes. He's probably lost and headed for hell. You can't preach for the salvation of others and not try to reach him. The Lord burdened my heart for his dad's soul, and I began looking for him during our engagement. In time, Wes joined the search. By then, Wes and I were in ministry together. I sang solos while he preached. One night, Wes preached in the Times Square Mission as I listened. Afterward, he grabbed me by the arm.
Dorothy, I think my father's here. He came in during the service and sat in the back row.
Is he still here?
Yeah. Let's go back and invite him to dinner with us.
Without asking the man's name, we took him to dinner. But he wasn't Wesley's father, so I kept looking, doing some detective work. I learned that his dad's sister lived a few hours away, so Wesley called her.
Hello?
This is Wesley, Olga. Is this my Aunt Pearl?
Wesley, yes, it is Aunt Pearl. I can't believe it's you.
In the flesh, Aunt Pearl. I've been trying to find my dad. Do you know where he is?
I hear from him from time to time, Wesley.
Well, maybe he doesn't want to hear from me. It's been almost 10 years since I've seen him, and he's never gotten in touch with us.
Oh, no, Wesley. He tried to contact you. He wrote letters and sent gifts, but you never answered, so he thought you didn't want to have anything to do with them.
Are you serious?
Yes. I know he wrote many times.
Well, then Mother intercepted him and didn't tell me. She's very bitter.
She wouldn't let any of us see you after your father was arrested, even though we tried many times. What are you doing now?
I'm an evangelist, Aunt Pearl, and I'm about to marry a wonderful woman named Dorothy.
Please come and visit. I'd love to see you both.
I'll arrange a preaching visit to Woodhaven, and we'll do that. And please, tell my dad that we're looking for him. Hello?
Wesley, it's Aunt Pearl.
I'm glad you called, Aunt Pearl. I'm scheduled to preach in Woodhaven next week. Dorothy and I will come by to visit.
I look forward to seeing you again, Wesley.
Me too. Have you heard from my dad?
Yes, he's staying at the Y in Woodhaven.
Does he want to see me?
Of course.
Oh, praise God.
Dorothy's welcome to stay with me while she's here.
Oh, thanks, Aunt Pearl. She's coming by bus.
She's not coming with you?
Her parents won't let her ride in my car because the brakes are so bad.
Well, you be careful.
Well, I will. I really want to see my father again. People called my car Methuselah because it was so old and decrepit. I had 13 flats the day I drove to Woodhaven, but I got there and went to the Y, to the room number my aunt had given me. My heart was filled with conflicting emotion as I knocked on the door.
Yeah? What do you want?
Are you? Sir, my name is Wesley Auger.
Wesley? My son? At last, my son!
Oh, Dad, thank God I found you.
I thought this day would never come. Son, I tried to write over the years, but your mother kept me from you.
I know. Aunt Pearl told me.
I'm so sorry for what I did,
I know,
Wesley.
I know, Dad. Sin always costs more than we expect.
I heard you're a preacher.
I'm an evangelist, Dad. I'm preaching here tonight.
An evangelist, huh?
Huh?
Who'd have thought?
Hey, why don't you come to the meeting?
I wouldn't miss it.
Wesley preached at a little church in Woodhaven all week, and his dad went to every meeting. I sat beside him.
The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Yes. My friend, you know in your heart that sin brings death. Sometimes it's the death of a relationship. Sometimes our sin results in the death of a career or even a person. But ultimately, our sin earns us eternal separation from a holy God.
He means me.
You have to be
I've
perfect
sinned.
To enter into God's kingdom of heaven. And who can make himself perfect? Who can say, "I have made my heart clean, I am pure for my sin"? No one. That's why Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice. The Lamb of God, without spot or blemish, who lived a sinless life, died for our sins, and then rose from the dead, giving us his righteousness. He paid our debt in full. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
He means me.
If you would like to walk out of the darkness into the light of the world, come forward now and receive Christ as your Savior.
I thought my heart would burst with joy that night as I saw my lonely father stand up and come forward to receive Christ as his Savior. I've led many people to the Lord since then, but nothing compares with seeing your dad become your brother in Christ.
Our marriage so embittered Wesley's mother that she wouldn't permit any of her family to attend the wedding. Finally, she drove Wes away from her for years, but our love for her didn't change, even though she was very vindictive. Later, when she was old and sick, we took her in, and at the point of death, she was calling for me. Wesley and I served the Lord as evangelists for 57 years in every state and 13 foreign countries. One cold day in January, we sat down to watch ice skating on television. Someone wrote you from the church where you preached the revival last month?
Yes. The pastor wanted me to share how some of the members have changed.
Oh, that's wonderful, Wes. It's good to know that your ministry is appreciated and that it's effective in the work of the Lord.
Yes, it is. And I want you to know how much I appreciate you. That's why I went out to get flowers for you, but they only had those plants I brought you.
I'm going to plant the flowers in the spring. They'll remind me that you went out in the winter to buy me live flowers, but could only find these potted plants.
Oh, that's good. The American skating team's doing better this year.
Yeah, they are. I think I'll have a cup of tea. I'll be right back. When I returned to the room, I thought Wes was asleep, but he had died and was with the Lord. God gave us two daughters and a wonderful life together. Wesley authored several books and received an honorary Doctor of Divinity degree. He served the Lord faithfully and with joy, and is now home with the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." I am 83 and still writing a newsletter to sing God's praises.
How different Wesley Auger's life was after he met the Prince of Peace. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Listening friend, that same abundant life is for you. God loves you, and Jesus died to give you new life, eternal life. Invite him into your heart and life and begin to live. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." If you need counsel in making this life-changing decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2726, heard in the classic true story of Wesley Auger, where Tony Marcus Jr., Oksana Fetnyushin, Tony Marcus Sr., Karen Anglin, Brad Armacost, and Mercita DeMonk. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. So please write today. Your letter brightens our day. The address, simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares, 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call, 312-922-1462.